Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Catch with John Fisher on Blog Talk Radio, connecting life to faith.
We're just trying to get it together, trying to help their fellow man, hoping we can make it.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Blog Talk Radio on The Catch. And we are having a lot of fun right now, spending time in the book of Nehemiah, which is a really interesting book in the Old Testament, where the children of Israel have been led into captivity based on their worship of idols and their total disobedience of the Lord and blaspheming the God of Israel. And, you name it, they've done it. It's lots of bad stuff that's ended in God's just letting them be led astray. And he even predicted, he said, this would happen if they disobeyed him. And, he would just say, okay, well, we'll just let these guys take over, and you can see what life is like on the other side. And so they're on their way back, and that's what this book is all about. Nehemiah starting to build the wall back up in Jerusalem. So it's a real interesting story. About, because Nehemiah is he's no great, prophet, king, hero. He's just a regular guy. I mean, from what we can tell, he's a cupbearer in the king's court in Persia and Artaxerxes. And, he just develops a huge desire to go back to Jerusalem. He's a second generation in exile, and he doesn't know anything about Jerusalem. He just hears stories about how it's devastated and the walls down, and he weeps over this, and the king gives him permission to go back and do something about it. So great story about what can happen through a regular guy like you or me, who has a passion and has a heart and a vision for what he wants to do. To help us with this story today is my brother, David Fisher, who is an excellent Bible teacher and pastor. He's retired now, but for years taught actually taught and ran a Bible college. He can tell you more about that if he wants to, but I know that because of that, he's taught his way through much of the Bible and is very familiar with Nehemiah. And I asked him the other day, would he be willing to come on and be our guest and let's just chat a little bit about Nehemiah and this amazing story, and he was more than willing to do that. So please welcome back to Blog Talk Radio, Dr. David Fisher. Welcome, David.
Hey, John. Good to be with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a great book.
Yeah, it is. It is. And in our discussions, I think we were drawn a lot to David's. Thorn in the side, I guess you could say, is guys like Sanballat and Tobiah, and these were neighboring either kings or governors or whatever it was who caused him grief, and in many ways are examples of people that get in our way in the spiritual warfare that we fight every day. And so there's some lessons to be learned here, and I thought you could maybe help lead us through some of this. So
yeah, just, jump in anytime, John. You want to add anything?
Okay.
So yeah, if you that are listening, if you want to follow in your Bibles, we're going to cover Nehemiah 4 and 6, the first half. So yeah, John is right that this sounds so modern. It was a media attack against the Jews.
Yeah.
John describes Sanballat and Tobiah and all these surrounding enemies that did not want to see the city rebuilt. It kind of is, in our day, there are powers that be that don't want to see the Christian church prevail or Bible believers be heard. And so in chapter 4, I just have taught this so often, I could probably do it without a Bible in front of me. But anyway, John and I were talking about this yesterday. The first attack that they mounted was ridicule. It says in verse 1 that Sanballat got so angry, he flew into a rage and mocked the Jews. So the next few verses, they're saying, look at these feeble Jews, what do they think they're doing? You think they can actually get this done? And then Tobiah chimed in verse 3 and said, if even a fox crawls up on that wall, it's going to crumble. Ha, ha, ha. And they were just mocking and laughing. And Nehemiah's response in verse 4 is to pray to God, hear us, Lord, we are being mocked. May their scoffing fall back on their own heads, and may they become captives. So he prayed, and they continued working. You know, I know John is building this catch blog podcast, and it is a ministry for him. I'm doing similar things in starting a blog website, and a lot of believers in our land today are trying to get the word out, right, John?
Right.
And so the first big attack was mocking and ridicule. And verse 6, they did not quit.
Yeah.
At last, the wall was completed half its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm. I love that. So they got the wall half up, and the enemies realized that mocking and ridicule didn't work. So in verse 7, they got together, and I can just see them in their board meeting saying, well, the ridicule didn't work. We're just going to have to fight. So verse 8, they made plans to attack Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. And then in verse 9, guess what? They prayed to God again and guarded the city day and night. We can't just pray. We have to be on guard. We have to realize when attacks are being made and fight back in a positive faith-building way. And then this is always rough, verse 10, when the disunity comes inside the city or inside the church or the family or the ministry. And it says in verse 10, the people of Judah began to complain. And they said, the workers are tired. There's too much rubble. We'll never get this done. And they begin to doubt themselves. And the workers are tired, and then their enemies, verse 11, before they know what's happening, we will swoop down and kill them and end their work. I have heard through the media in the last several years, so much hatred and so much talk about what we're going to do, what we're going to do to these people that think they're going to take over, or think they're going to rule, or think they're going to build the kingdom of God. And so the enemy had a nice little plan. We're just going to swoop down and kill them. So they were feeling quite confident. And then, to make it worse, verse 12, the Jews began to hear these rumors because they also watch TV. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Verse 12, the Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again, they're going to come from all directions and attack us. So verse 13, Nehemiah took charge. He placed armed guards. And put them in the lowest part of the wall in the exposed areas. And I also stationed the people to stand guard by families armed with swords, spears, and bows. So you can envision Nehemiah setting workers 360 degrees surrounding the city. The wall was half up. They stationed their families and their workers evenly to defend the city. And so then this is cool. Verse 14, as I looked over the situation, you know, it really is important what the leader says, because if the leader projects weakness or doubt, that is going to take the heart out of the rest of the people, right?
Right.
Then as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, don't be afraid. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious. I love this. Fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. And this was more than just, quote, a ministry, unquote. This was these people's lives. They were fighting for their families. You know, in our faith war today, fighting the good fight of faith, we are helping the members of our family, our church family, our neighborhoods, our ministry team, our friends, to be of good courage. And so I love this. Remember the Lord who is great and fight. And he lists them, your brothers, sons, daughters, wives, and your homes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And then 15, I love this. When our enemies heard we knew of their plans and God had frustrated them, because they saw guards all around the wall and they realized there were no unguarded areas. There were no weak points. There were no gaps. When they found out God had frustrated them, we all returned to our work on the wall. I know, John, you told me yesterday, why don't you share this, that all of these great and glorious plans they had built up in their mind just totally backfired.
Yeah. You mean the enemy's plans?
Yeah.
Because they never really did anything, you know?
No.
When you finish the story, they never even attacked.
Yeah.
Because
we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to slaughter them, and we're going to take over. They did zippo. There was not an arrow shot inside the city.
It was just an awful lot of hot air.
Yep.
Yeah.
And boy, there's a lot of that going on from all quarters today in our social media and culture, isn't it?
Yes. We need to, but they didn't pay attention to it. They just kept going. with their job.
Excellent.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They knew they were involved in something extremely important, and it was their own lives they were fighting for.
Yeah. I don't know where you may be planning on looking into this passage, but there's so many different ones we may not get to it. The one I love is when Sanballat says, you know, come meet me and we'll talk this over.
That's in chapter 6. Yeah.
Oh, that's in 6. Yeah. And I just love what he says there, that this work is just too great. This is too great of a work for me to bother having lunch with you.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
And Jerusalem was the highest city in the region. And I love, this is in chapter 6. You can pick it up in the first 10 verses. Sanballat said, well, look, let's have a conference. Let's meet in the valley of Ono, O-N-O. And basically Jeremiah said, oh, no. And what he said was, I cannot come down to your level. I cannot come down and meet with you and argue with you because I am doing a great work.
Great work. Oh, I love that.
And man, today does it. Go ahead, John.
No, that's all right. You're going into it. Go ahead.
Today, it takes total dedication in this culture to stand for the Lord and encourage people in their faith and try to give hope to the hopeless and courage to the weak. I love chapter 4, verse 16. It said, from then on, half my men worked while the other half stood guard with their spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. Verse 17, the laborers carried on with one hand supporting their load and one hand holding a weapon. So these guys were, I can imagine, laying stones and putting mortar, troweling cement, liquid binding, whatever they used to hold the wall together with one hand, and they had their sword belted to their side. So they're building with one hand and fighting with the other. And sometimes, man, I'm telling you, we just feel like we're trying to do the work of two or three people all at once, because we've got to stand for the Lord, we've got to build for the Lord, and we've got to fight for the Lord.
And it's a great work. I love that.
It's a great work. So he had this neat system. Verse 18 says, the trumpeters stayed with me to sound the alarm. So verse 19, he explained to the nobles, he says, look, we're all spread out. We're widely separated from each other along the wall. So we'll just do this. We'll all be building 360 around the city. If you get an attack from any direction, just send word. I'll have the trumpeter come over and blow the trumpet. Ta-da, ta-da. And whenever you hear the trumpet blow, rush over to that family and help them drive the enemy away, and God will fight for us. Rush to wherever it is sounding. And that's kind of like intercession and prayer ministry. We get a lot of requests from one another and from friends and relatives. Please pray for this need. And so in church life, we've got to sound the trumpet when there's a need, and then everybody rushes there and joins their faith, and in that sense gets victory over the attack.
Yeah, we have, in light of that, we have an incredible prayer ministry here at the Catch. under the direction of Cynthia Cody Vera, and she has prayer warriors, and they are
awesome.
Ready and praying round the clock. And so
awesome.
I guess you could say they're the trumpeters, you know, when there's something that needs attention, they blow the trumpet and we all come together and we pray.
That's great. Yeah. Those that are listening now, if you have a need, be sure and check with John and Marty and blow that trumpet and they'll rush to your aid.
Yeah. Amen. That's great.
So the ending of chapter 4, we worked early and late, sunrise to sunset. One translation said, from dawn until the stars appeared.
Huh.
And the men were always on guard. He said, I told everyone living outside the walls, move into Jerusalem and live here until we get this thing built. That way, they can help with guard duty at night and work during the day. Oh, my.
Hmm.
And look at 23, John. During this time, none of us, not I, nor my relatives, nor my servants, nor the guards who were with me, none of us took our clothes off except for washing. Isn't that amazing?
Well. They slept in their clothes.
Yeah.
If they slept at all, it seems like.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, can we jump to chapter 6 now?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Okay.
We got about 7 or 8 more minutes. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Chapter 6, this is what John was describing. Verse 2, they sent a message to Nehemiah to meet them in the plain of Ono. But Nehemiah says, I realized they were plotting to harm me. So I replied, I am engaged in a great work, so I cannot come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you? Well, they didn't give up. Verse 4, they sent this same message 4 times.
Hmm.
And then verse 5, the 5th time, they sent a servant with an open letter in his hand. And this is what it said. There is a rumor among the surrounding cities and nations, and Geshem tells me it is true. Well, if Geshem says it's true, it's true. You and the Jews are planning to rebel, and you are building the wall. You plan to be their king, and you have anointed your own prophets in Jerusalem to proclaim how great you are.
Wow.
You can be very sure this report will get back to the king, so I suggest you come, here it is, and talk it over with me.
Hmm.
This guy was ready to get his hooks into Nehemiah, and I replied, there is no truth in any part of your story. You are making up the whole thing. They were just trying to intimidate us, imagining they could discourage us and stop the work. And I love this. I continued the work with even greater determination.
Huh.
So don't get weak in your commitment, people. Don't give up. Don't quit. If you feel like there's opposition around you to your faith and to your love and to your service, just work even harder with greater determination.
That's great.
And then here's the last one, John, verse 10. They told him to go hide in the house of God. Go lock yourself in the church and quit working. Let's meet inside the temple and bolt the doors. Your enemies are going to kill you tonight. Mm-hmm. And look what Nehemiah said, verse 11. Should someone in my position run from danger? Should someone in my position enter the temple to save his life? I won't do it. And I realized God had not sent him. But he uttered this prophecy against me because he had been hired by the enemies to put me in fear. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look what happened. Verse 15, the wall was finished 52 days after we began. And when I love this. I'll close with this, and then you can take it, John. When our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened and humiliated. They realized this work had been done with the help of our God.
Yeah. Yeah. It was miraculous. No one could humanly, they could not humanly explain it.
Yeah.
That such a work, 52 days. I mean, I did a little, you know, the wall was, I think, about 4.5 miles all the way around. And it was
probably
about 4 stories high. And, and across the top is about 8 feet, enough for 3 to 4 people to walk side by side along the
when
top.
They finished, when they finished the wall, John, appointed 2 big marching choirs and orchestras, and they started and went in opposite directions, praising God and marching around the top of the wall, thanking him for the security of the city. Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's great. They should have, I wonder if they put a fox out in front.
To see if it, to see if it was safe.
Yes. That's amazing. But, you know, that, imagine, I don't think that could be done today with cranes and earth movers and
that's
all that.
That's a lot of work.
You know, they had.
That's not.
They had like.
Yeah, that's not even 2 months. That's not even 2 months.
Right. And
incredible.
And imagining, you know, see how long it takes them to repair a road around here. It's miraculous. So when we stick to our guns and to our faith and
amen,
the Lord has asked us to do, he gets the glory. And and people realize it's more than we could do on our own. Well, That's fantastic. I appreciate you leading us through this and putting this particular aspect of the whole thing together, because I think we do feel we're under a lot of pressure today.
Yes.
And it's probably going to, I don't know, it's probably, you know, we keep saying it's the end times, and it's closer than it was yesterday. That's for sure.
Well, it's closer than it was 2,000 years ago. That's for sure.
So we're gonna face opposition. And I think this is a good example of how to face it. And you know, he didn't add to the fighting. I mean, he didn't, kind of, hey, come on, you know, we'll take you on kind of thing. No, he just stuck to his work. He ignored the pressure.
Right.
And stuck to the kingdom of God. And I think that's, That's a really right. good example for us today to not try and get. I see a lot of Christians today actually getting in and trying to fight themselves.
Yeah. They get into a war of words and shouting and.
Right. It's not necessary. No, just do the good work. It's a great work.
Yeah.
Just keep doing the great work that you're called to do. And that work
Amen.
Doesn't involve the fight. The Lord will fight for us. That involves
right.
kindness and love and generosity and thankfulness
right.
and gratitude.
Right.
You know, all the things that we just don't see in our society today are the things that
yeah.
I think, don't you agree that you and I as Christians
oh,
need to be
yeah.
thankful for?
Oh, yeah. The whole culture is rigged toward victimhood now and blaming and
mm-hmm.
and accusing and shaming and censoring and defacebooking.
yeah.
So that you know, if you just forgive like Jesus totally forgave,
mm-hmm.
You're going to be free, and God will fight for you on the other end of the equation.
Mm. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Those are great last words. Thank you, David, for spending some time.
Okay, John, bless you.
Yeah, this was wonderful. God bless you and your family.
Thank you.
Well,
bye-bye.
There you go, folks.
You're listening
Nehemiah
to The Catch with John Fisher.
Told us what to do and
radio.
Showed us what to do.
Connecting life
by the way, he stuck to his gun. It's a great work. What is your great work? That's what I want us all to find out. That's what we're here for at The Catch, to help you find out what is your great work today. God bless you. Till next week.